Good late evening, little Saigon, Seattle, and all those environs and places between here and the Casbah. Good evening to the people of New York City. I hope you're wearing your muzzles as you fuck that woman. Good evening to all the Craigley folk of Chicago. Good evening to the monsters that currently live under Lake Michigan. It is August the 13th, 2020, Thursday, right around 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm just here to say hello. I'm just here to reward your fascination with the impossibilicus. I don't know. Have you ever felt like a total fuck up? I know a lot of you guys out there, you testosterone freaks, and God bless you, would tell you, no, Dan, I am always a fully confident male. And here's the deal, folks. This whole alpha beta delineation gets really fucking old really fucking fast. A dude today told me my voice did not match my body. And I think he's a cool guy. Won't mention his name because I think he meant it as a compliment, but I was thinking about that. My voice does not match my body. Well, what does that mean precisely? I'll tell you what I think it means. When I walk down the streets of Little Saigon, people see a homeless dude. Yeah. I tried to do a new format for my podcast this evening with Jim. If you don't know Jim Davidson, he's a pretty smart guy, a pretty cool dude. We've done a bunch of podcasts together since March. We have some history together. I would say the history we have is the history of people these days that can sometimes be a real fucking mess until you realize, once you get through it, the mess was worth it. That's how friendships are sometimes. But tonight, we did a Zoom podcast, and it sucked. Jim didn't suck. Jim was fine. But the technology sucked. And when I say it sucked, I'm certain I had clearer conversations on Skype, and I mean the Skype before Microsoft bought it. I think I had clearer conversations on Skype back in the day. So in my view, it's not really about technology. It might be about bloat. And if you don't understand bloat and complexity and software engineering, it's too boring a topic for too late at night. I beat up on myself a lot. I know I'm good at things. I've known this my whole life, but in general, even on days I succeeded, I had probably the lowest self-esteem of anybody ever met. And I've always done a pretty good job of hiding it, and it's not something I'm either proud or ashamed of. It's something I'd love to fix, but I'm a 50-year-old man, so it's entirely possible that I am going to say I'm sorry too much instead of thank you, as Raylene pointed out, and that was smart on her part, but, you know, old dogs, new tricks. Sometimes it doesn't work. The fact is, I wanted Zoom to work. I wanted to be optimistic about a piece of fucking technology. I used to work in technology. Currently, I'm not working. That's why I say I used to. I'm a reasonably decent computer programmer. If I'm giving something worthy to work on, these days, most of what I work on is fixing broken shit. So I think that's the thing about the Zoom podcast with Jim that didn't work out, is that it reminded me of all the broken fucking shit in software engineering. Like, I can imagine how Zoom was built. It was probably built in one of these, you know, quasi-inclusive, degenderified, intersectional, balanced kind of socialistic kind of ways, which means it's really shitty software. Yeah. And I don't want to dwell on it, but it made me angry. It made me angry at myself. I don't like wasting people's fucking time. You know, Jim is my friend, but he's also a person who, like me, doesn't like to have his fucking time wasted. And I felt like I wasted his fucking time. I felt like, once again, I shot for the moon, and I hit the outhouse. So here's the deal. I've tried Zoom twice for podcasts, and of course it's the free Zoom, but folks, here's the deal about free. I don't pay more money in general to find out if things go from shit to a shrimp sandwich. If you want to sell me on something, provide me with quality under the free or temporary contract so I have a reason to pay you fucking money. On the other hand, if the really good service is waiting behind a paywall, how do I fucking know? I've been paying SoundCloud almost $200 a year for a couple years to host my fucking MP3 files. And I'm fairly convinced they shadow ban. How am I convinced? Because I've had a friend who has been deleted, about a dozen times in 12 months. And every time I email SoundCloud, I was like, we don't know. We don't know. We're Germans. What the fuck do we know? So I put stuff on SoundCloud. I put stuff on YouTube. I host crap on my own fucking website, and I do this for the simple fact that there's almost no place I've been able to express myself on the World Wide Web in these last, 9 years since I decided to go down this fucking road. Since I took the advice of people and said, you should write, you should podcast, you should do these things, and I've even been told that I have some talent, but for whatever reason, and it doesn't matter if it's YouTube or fucking SoundCloud or any other place I've been, and I've been to a few internet ghettos. I've been to Steemit. I've been to fucking Minds.com. I've had an account on Gab AI. It's all the same fucking ghetto now. Frankly, I don't know why we can't just have websites. It almost makes you wonder what the real purpose of social media was. It almost makes you think that the real purpose was to, ultimately, collect people into a ghetto. And if you're wondering if this thought's original, it's not. I remember when I started my first blog in 2011. And a friend of mine, who I believe may have passed, I haven't spoken to him in years. When I say friend, not a close friend, but someone I worked with when I was in Nashville, he sent me an essay about the digital ghetto. And really, at the time, I thought, well, this is just negative thinking. You know, I'll start my fucking blog and blah, blah, blah. But he was right. And the essay I read was right. I forget the author, but the basic argument was correct. The World Wide Web has been ghettoized. If you cannot see that or sense it, maybe you're on the right side of the tracks. You know, and I don't know. I know I sound like I'm complaining and I'm confused and I'm angry and I'm stupid. And I know some of you would say, well, Dan, you're not stupid. Why are you saying that? And then I would say, have you ever lived inside of a person's mind? I mean, you lived in your own, but have you ever really understood someone else? And it's impossible. The only person that really knows my mind is Jesus Christ. That's it. No other human, no computer. No aliens or ghosts or any other motherfuckers, and definitely not Satan. I still think about what Raylene said the other night. You know, Satan cannot read our minds. That's an important thing. Jesus can. No one else can. You would not want to spend a weekend in my head. Not unless you want to get really sad, angry, and crazy. But you know what's possible? That just about every person's head's a mess. And then it's really not that special, really. So I do it, I deal with it as best I can. I work through it. I try to process it. I try to come up with ways in which I can survive it. I try to tell myself I'm not a loser. And I do, I wake up and I try to have a good attitude. And there are days when I can go a whole day almost and think, you know what? This is a world for a person like me. I can make this work. Even in this crooked fucking dystopia, there have been days in the last few months where I did believe, and I do believe, that I can fit, I can make this work, I can survive. But surrounding those days are oceans, seas, endless abyss, emptiness of darkness, where I say to myself, what the fuck are you doing here? What the fuck right do you think you have to try to organize a Christian service? What kind of a Christian are you, Dan? You're not that good. You're a sinner. You're a scumbag. You're motivated to drink and to disappear and to ignore reality. You're motivated to basically shirk, in a sense, Who are you, Dan? Why can't you just join the team for the big win? And it's not that big a deal. I think I'm just tired. I think a lot of us, maybe not all of us, but I think there are a lot of people out there who are having a hard time believing in themselves because they've internalized the dystopia. And it's hard not to. It's hard not to take the darkness that they've foisted upon us and bring it inside. I don't know if I mentioned this in a previous podcast. I probably did. But the other day I was walking and I was at the intersection of Jefferson and 12th Avenue. And I stopped in the middle and I just started screaming at all the cars. I just started screaming, you know, make sure you wear your fucking mask. Made a little hand movement with my fucking hand to make it look like I was putting on my fucking mask. I didn't have a mask on. But why did I scream at those drivers? Why did I scream into the streets? No one was listening. No one cares. That's kind of how I feel. On the bad days, especially. It's not all bad. It isn't. We can't see it that way, especially if we believe in Christ. You know, Christ loves us all. Christ loves the people that see mostly the sun and very seldom the shadow. Christ also loves the people that mostly see the clouds and often don't see the sun. I'm more of a cloud person. I've been that since I was a little kid. Good, bad, right, wrong. If you want to put a label on it, you can. But part of life is acceptance, right? Accepting who you are, changing the things you can, but recognizing some things might never fucking change. Yes, indeed. Isn't it great to join Dan at the happy hour? I personally think it's okay to talk about these things. I think it's okay to accept the fact that we're imperfect human beings. And if you don't believe in God, guess what? It's okay too. You can think of this in terms that are secular. It doesn't have to be spiritual or religious or anything to do with the supernatural. If you want to, you can reduce it to this. We work our way through this life. We're given tools when we're born, and we use these tools as best we can. We try to learn from the wise. If you can find a wise guy. If you can find a wise guy. When we're born, we're given tools. Some of us believe these tools are given to us by God. I believe in God, so God gave me tools just like He gave you tools. We can learn to use them well, or we can not use them well. We can bury them in the ground and ignore them. It's a lot like the parable of the talents. And, you know, you can look that up in the Bible yourself. It's in the New Testament. But to paraphrase, the parable of the talents kind of goes like this. And again, I'm paraphrasing because this is not from memory. Imagine that you had some money. You had some money and you had three friends. And you gave some of your money to friend one and then some to friend two and friend three. You said you were going away on a journey. And one day you would return and you hope that your friends would have taken the resources you gave them and done something with them. And many years pass. And when you return home, you go to see your first friend. Your first friend basically took the money you gave them and buried it. And said, listen, I buried it. It was the smartest thing I could do. I buried it in the ground. Here you go. Here's your money. And then the second friend went ahead and just, you know, spent it, you know, basically spent it on ridiculous stuff. Spent it on wine, spent it on prostitutes, spent it on gambling and pointlessness. And the third friend took your wealth and tried to start a business, but the business failed. Now, this is not exactly the parable of the talents, folks. You can read it yourself. It's not like that, but I'm using my own version. Which one of those friends really did right by you? Was it the friend that took the money and buried it in the ground? Was that your good friend? Was it? Was it the friend that went out partying I don't think so. Not that partying is bad. I mean, We all got to have fun, but remember, you were supposed to do something. You could have taken a little of it and partied, but you weren't supposed to take all of it and do that. Then the third friend took the money you gave them and took that money and tried to start a business. And they succeeded for a while, and then the business failed. And your third friend ended up broke. Now ask yourself, which of those friends did right by you? Was it the person that buried the money in the ground? Was it the person that took the money and just, you know, had prostitutes and liquor until the cows came home? Or was it the friend that tried to start a business and build something but ended up failing? I would argue it was the third friend. That was the person that did right. Not to say the middle person, the person partying, was a total failure. I would give that person the silver medal. The bronze medal goes to the person that buried your money, but the gold medal goes to the person that took those resources and tried, even if they failed. The Lord in heaven doesn't expect us to always succeed. And if your metaphor is not God, the universe has no means by which to judge whether or not you succeed or fail. It's not really about that. Because there's really no guarantee. You could work your ass off. Take a look at fucking reality right now. There are people who were born about the same time I was, who worked their asses off their whole fucking life. And they believed in the system, and they obeyed all the fucking rules. And in the end, they still got fucked. And guess what? The fucking's not done yet. It's really not. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be all, you know, dark and shit, but fuck. If you tune into my fucking podcast on my frequency, yes, 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 I want there to be laughter, but sometimes there is darkness, folks. Sometimes you have to realize I tend to see the clouds and not the sunlight. The third friend that took your money and did their best to start a business, to invest and to achieve. And even though they failed, the third friend did right by you, better than the other two. And I'm not saying the other two were total failures, but if you have to make a decision on this, I would pick the decision on the basis of not what happened, but what was done. It's really easy to say, well, I buried the money in the ground and here it is. Well, that can also turn out badly. And for the person that just drank and hoarded all way, I mean, that speaks for itself, really, doesn't it? Anywho. I had insomnia last night. I have a little bit of it right now. It's almost midnight here pretty soon. Which means it'll be August the fucking 14th tomorrow. Thank you. That sounds terrible. That's really terrible. That's not so bad, but still bad. That's terrible. I'm not sure how much more I want to say for this podcast. I sometimes dwell on stuff too much. I sometimes obsess over stuff too much. That is a feature I have in common with a fair percentage of humanity. We often obsess on shit we shouldn't. We should learn to let go of things we can. And as we travel along the road of this life, we will weigh ourselves down if all we do is load up our backpack with regrets. Today, I saw a tweet from a person I, you know, am affiliated with on Twitter. And I won't give away the name because I don't have the permission to. But I will say this. It was a good tweet, and it had to do with this idea that, you know, these regrets we carry around, they plague us. They bog us down. They slow us down. The best thing we can do with those regrets, with those memories of the past where we wish we would have turned right instead of left, is to get over it, to heal, and then to take those regrets and leave them by the wayside. Leave them by the side of the road. You know, if you don't believe in God, leave them by the wayside. If you do believe in Jesus, ask him to help you unburden yourself. But these regrets, these things in the past, they're not fixable. They're really not. No matter what you did, no matter what happened, whether you harmed yourself or harmed somebody else, whether you made a mistake, whether you failed someone, these are things that happened. Do I think that there are sins and actions that fall way outside the lines of normal regret? Yes, I do. I think there are things you can do to other people that I don't know how you'd get over. Thankfully, I've never done. But a lot of the stuff most people do in this life, the mistakes, the slights, the anger, the frustration, the fights, the words you were supposed to say, the words you were supposed to listen to, these are things you can get past. And if you can't fix them, these are regrets you can leave by the wayside. Yeah, I fucked up a Zoom podcast. Big fucking deal. I figured out I don't like Zoom. Yeah, guess what? Fuck you if you do. I don't care. And if it is really a red communist thing anyways, no wonder. Fuck the red commies. But whatever, dude. It's just a fucking podcast. Right now, in the scheme of things, it doesn't really amount to very much. And I know there are people that listen to me, and this helps. And if it does help, God bless you. I mean that. I'm not just saying it sarcastically. But I do mean what I say when I say there are things we invest energy in 2020 that we may soon realize, well, I don't know. We may realize weren't necessarily the best uses of our energy, and in that sense, you could call it a regret, but it's not. I don't regret the podcast. I think it's been good for me. Even if I never end up making a living doing it, which seems pretty fucking likely at this point, I don't regret it. I don't. It's not one of my regrets. It won't be. It probably could never be at this point. I have met some really cool people because of this podcast. I have been able to go down a road of healing because of this podcast. Not total healing. I still have some things I have to fix. But to the extent that I am able to get past a lot of my demons, especially the demons of 2016 and 2017, I've been able to. But a podcast not working out, that's not a good reason to like spend the whole day dwelling on it. And I know you'd say, well, Dan, you're just a perfectionist or something. I don't think so. I have an obsession over certain things, over audio quality. If I was listening to a podcast, I wouldn't want to have to keep rebalancing the amplitude, stuff like that. I wouldn't want to have to worry about calibrating the equalizer as if that's still a fucking thing. So I don't know. I try to see it from the perspective of the person listening. And in that sense, I think that's a good attitude. But spilt milk, people. Spilt milk. The other day I was cleaning. The other day I was cleaning it. And just, you know, full disclosure, I don't have a lot of money right now. I'm also not complaining about it because really a lot of people are dead ass broke. But I had a glass bottle of pepper. I love my pepper. I love adding pepper to eggs and soup. I love the pepper, but I was working and moving stuff around. And listen, guys, I live in essentially a really large bathroom. So if you're not careful, it's kind of like, if you've ever seen that, and I've mentioned this before, but it is a good analogy, a good comparison, excuse me. It's a good comparison. If you've ever seen that German movie from the 80s called Das Boot, the boat, you know, about living on a fucking German U-boat in World War II, I would say the apartment living I do is a lot like living on a German U-boat in World War II. And so there's not a lot of space. If you make a mistake, it's easy to do because less space, less room to maneuver. And I was moving stuff around, and that glass container of pepper broke and was lost. And you could say, Dan, don't scry. It's late. Don't cry. Drink some tea. Don't cry over spilt pepper, but you know what? I like that pepper. It was something that, you know, added a little zest to whatever scromulac or street protein or various gimbages I can find in the grass that grows nearby. It would add a little spice to the slurry I would make of all the street usages, the rat codrules, the lost and feral cats. And census workers. That's right. The pepper would add flavor to any census worker. I've had two census workers come to my fucking door in under a fucking week. Two different people. Knock, knock, knock. Is there somebody living here? And it's like, instinctively, I want to say yes because I am alive. But I also know from an OPSEC perspective, that is really my first mistake. So from now on, I'm not even sure I'll say anything. Like if number three shows up, I think I'll grab my audio recorder and go to the door, but just let them knock and talk or something. Or maybe I'll start a gibberish conversation. Like, hey, is somebody living here? It's like, are you living here? I said, are you living here? Are you living here? Sir, I'm just checking on, are you living here? No, sir, are you living here? Are you living here? Thank you. So don't cry over spilt pepper. Don't get upset if you sometimes fail. Yeah, welcome to the human condition. Don't give up on yourself because you fail. And if you've got regrets, and you're able to, periodically crack open your bag of regrets and take one or two and just leave them by the side of the fucking road. Beyond that, I don't have any good advice. Just really crappy advice. If you have too many regrets in your bag, and I don't care if it's I fucked up a podcast or I said something mean to somebody or I fucked up at work, you should try to improve, try to make yourself better. But if it's spilt milk, if it's a cracked container of pepper, you just have to put it in the fucking garbage and move on. You have to wipe it up and move on. That's my magical fucking advice for Thursday.